Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line, ABC News political director Rick Klein. Rick, the impeachment hearings, the public phase appears wrapping up yesterday, unless you see any curveballs coming our way. I mean, is it possible that we could see more hearings, more testimony in the coming couple of weeks?
It appears unlikely. It looks like the Intelligence Committee has what it needs, and now the handoff starts to the Judiciary Committee. They make a recommendation, and the Judiciary Committee would be charged with actually authorizing articles of impeachment. So things appear to be on track so far as the House of Representatives schedule goes. We'll see if there's any curveballs or late witnesses, but the Democrats feel very confident about how they were able to lay out their case in the Intelligence Committee over the last 2 weeks.
When could there be a vote then? What kind of a timeline are you looking at?
We're looking at middle of December, certainly before Christmas. That's the goal now, is to get this off the plate. So functionally speaking, maybe as late as December 20th or so. There's some talk of maybe doing it a week or so earlier to bring it to the House floor. Look, Democrats recognize that they don't have everything, but that they'll never get everything they want because there's so many complicated strands to this. They also don't want to fall into what they view as a bit of a trap being set by the White House, where there are various pieces of legal challenge that are out there that could delay things. They don't want to delay. They feel like they have made the case that they're going to make or have really have the groundwork for it, and just want to be able to have that public vote, put some pressure on Republicans, and have some finality to a process that, you know, frankly, could go on a lot longer if they wanted it to.
So lay it out for us, the steps from here to where we potentially get to an impeachment trial. How long are we talking, and what needs to happen between then and there?
Frankly, there's no rules, so it can be whatever they want it to be. But I think as a matter of practicality, the Senate would need a couple of weeks to have the trial once those articles of impeachment are there. There's been talk about doing it in as few as 2 weeks. Frankly, there's a difference of opinion even among Republicans. Do you want to do this quickly to show that you don't think there's anything there and you dispatch with it? Do you want it to stretch out into the primary voting season, into February and even March, to make it more awkward for some of those Democrats who are senators and also running for president? So I think there's some real questions about the timing around all of it. But the fact is that whatever gets a majority vote in the House and the Senate can kind of set the rules, and things stem from there.
Now, Rick, there have not been any signs of cracks in the GOP support for the president, you know, right up till now. Do you see anything changing there, and what does that mean?
I think that's a fascinating and important takeaway for what we've seen, is that there have been bombshell after bombshell, but they have only detonated on one side of the aisle. And if you were looking for signs that some prominent Republicans on the committee or elsewhere had second thoughts, had reservations about the president, you didn't find them here. Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from New York, who a lot of people thought would potentially show some daylight, has emerged as a partisan warrior in this. And I think all of the Republicans on the committee are exceedingly likely to oppose impeachment vociferously. And that's an important takeaway for the White House, is that as damaging as this last week or so has been, there's nothing here that puts the president in actual more jeopardy than he was going in terms of actually being convicted in the Senate.
You know, here in New York State, there was some poll numbers from Siena Research that came out yesterday showing that, you know, as a whole, obviously a blue state, New York, still supportive of impeaching the president. But those numbers are down since the impeachment hearings kind of really began a little over a couple of weeks ago. And it's mostly independents, those people in the middle who didn't have a strong opinion, who are now leaning against impeachment, that they don't support it as much as they used to. Is that a trend that's reflected in other states? And is that something Democrats are maybe becoming aware of as more and more of these polls may be released?
Yeah, it's probably too soon to say if this is a nationwide trend, but there's similar numbers in a poll out in Wisconsin, which is a battleground state, unlike New York, as you mentioned. So I think there is concern among Democrats about how this public case has taken hold. But I also think there's a realistic aspect to the way that they're handling all of this. they're not expecting that they're going to get the whole country to flip on the president. They're looking at some folks who probably think that something bad happened, but just don't know what the punishment should be. If you get those people to reconsider, then you have a chance. You have at least an opportunity to make that argument for removal from office. Short of that, Democrats know how that story ends. It doesn't mean they think it's any less important, though, in terms of making this case.
Just for those who don't know, what happens if Trump does get impeached?
Well, if impeachment is like getting indicted or accused of a crime. If he's acquitted in the Senate or found not to be guilty and he continues to stay in office, then he can run for re-election as a re-elected president. It's never happened before. Previous presidents who have been impeached happen to be either in their second terms or not choose to run for re-election. That was Nixon and Clinton. It both happened in their second terms. This is different. And the president has every right to run for re-election, even if he has been impeached.
There was a debate again this week between Democratic candidates. Did you have a big takeaway from this week's debate?
I think first it was a more somber because of the stakes that happened on the day of the very big impeachment hearings. I also think it was a big opportunity for Mayor Pete Buttigieg. A lot of people came in to the debate thinking he was going to take it on the chin from these candidates because of his polling numbers, and he basically skated past them. And I think it's another sign, if you needed one, that he is here to stay.
And for Biden, there were more gaps the other night, too. What did that mean?
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, his team insists that it doesn't matter, that most Americans that are tuning in, or if they're tuning in at all, know who Biden is, and they're not really paying attention to the gaps. But the fact is that this has been awkward performance after awkward performance for the former vice president, and it's fueled the concerns that are bringing other candidates into the race. We have former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick now running, Michael Bloomberg taking more and more steps, including filing with the FEC just yesterday toward running. So I think all of that speaks to the uncertainties in the Democratic race right now.
Are we going to see maybe a different format for these debates moving forward? Because you mentioned some of the new candidates, so now the field's getting more crowded, and there were a lot of complaints after the debate. You have people like Yang and Gabbard who had to wait a half an hour before they got a chance to talk.
Yeah, I'm cognizant of the difficulties here, and I'm sympathetic to anyone that has to do this. I've done a bunch of these myself at ABC. There's no perfect way to do it. It depends on how many candidates qualify. The next debate is sponsored by PBS NewsHour and Politico in California next month. I don't know if they've got a different format in mind. I hope, for the good of the process is that the entirety of the debate season plays out lots of opportunities for these candidates. So there's not any one debate that's it kind of carries the weight of everything. But there really is no perfect way to handle these things.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.